Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Radical expressions of Jesus will appear in today's text, but ultimately it holds a very precious teaching. Hear are these words. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we trust that you are with us today. Under your good guidance, please pour out the inspiration of the Holy Spirit into our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I get these questions periodically. Can I possibly become a child of God? How can I become a person who pleases God? Will God hear my prayers when I am feeling so unworthy? Every time I encounter these questions, I reply that God loves you, and you have to start acknowledging that God loves you. Max Lucado is a pastor and an author, and he was born in the United States. He wanted to convey God's love through writing while serving as a missionary in Brazil. With his hopes of wanting to share God's love, he wrote the book titled, You Are Special. You Are Special is the story of small wooden people called the Wemmicks living in a small village. Every day, the Wemmicks would give shiny golden stars to the good-looking Wemmicks with smooth wooden surfaces or well-painted exteriors. Or the Wemmicks would give gray dots to those whose wood is rough or chipped. The Wemmicks who were strong, sang well, were talented, received more stars. On the other hand, there was one particular Wemmick named Punchinello, who did not have any talents, and in fact, he was a little clumsy, and he always kept getting dots put on him. Punchinello only received gray dots, so he felt that he was not a good wooden person. Then, by chance, he meets a Wemmick named Lucia, and he is amazed that she has no stars or no dots on her. She introduces him to Eli, the maker. After some deliberation, Punchinello meets Eli, and he begins to realize that things could be different for him. Eli says to Punchinello, "You are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes." At that moment, in his heart, Punchinello thought, "I think he really means it." And when he admitted, a gray dot fell to the ground. Without waiting to see whether our Lord hears our prayers or not, we are quick to judge ourselves against legalism and our moral ethics. And because of our high expectations, we become doubtful of whether our Lord loves us. In the eyes of our Lord, wouldn't our hasty judgments look rather arrogant? If the Lord says he loves us, we just need to acknowledge that truth and accept that love. Today's scripture begins from there he set out, ekathen den anastas. This clause contains a Greek adverb, ekathen, meaning from there. Interestingly, ekathen does not directly signify a place. So it could be referring to a geographic location named Gennesaret, which was a place where Jesus was at before going to Tyre. The adverb ekathen does not indicate the circumstance clearly. So considering the connection with today's scripture, we can learn that Jesus was setting out from a certain situation rather than a geographic location and went to Tyre. When we look at the passage right above, so before today's scripture, Jesus was in Gennesaret. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes from Jerusalem came to visit him. In order to tarnish Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees and the scribes started arguing with Jesus that Jesus' disciples were unclean because they did not follow the traditions of the elders. They were quite proud of the traditions of the elders they were observing. What underlies their pride is their privilege. They had a sense of privilege and believed that only themselves were pure. To such people, Jesus spoke the truth. And from there, he set out and went away to a region of Tyre, where it was unclean and lowly in the sight of the Pharisees and some scribes. First century Jewish historian Josephus writes in Against Apion, Book 113, Tyrians have been most of all in the same ill disposition towards us. Tyre was a hostile and insignificant Gentile territory in the eyes of the Jews. Despite the eyes of the Jews, nevertheless, we can find in Mark 3:8 that there were people from the Tyre region who heard stories about Jesus' miracles and came to him and followed him. Jesus himself came to Tyre, where so many people already heard about him. Among the Tyrians, the news of Jesus' arrival was like a star that could not be hidden in the night sky, nor could it be concealed as if it were a pointed pendulum poking out of a pocket. The news quickly spread to those who wanted to see Jesus. For some reason, contrary to Jesus' intention of not wanting to let anyone know that he was there, as verse 24 shows, a woman asking Jesus for help came to him and knelt at his feet. The woman who came to Jesus was a Syrophoenician woman who is described as a Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15. Reformation theologian John Calvin said that the expression Canaan was used by the Jews disgracefully to name the natives living in the vicinity of Judea and the region of Tyre. Canaan was a humiliating word for those seeking shelter nearby because they lost their land to the Jews. In the eyes of the Jews, the Syrophoenician woman was a Gentile from an unclean area. So she had to hear disgraceful comments. And due to the historical circumstances of those days, as a woman, she was a minority. What's worse was that her daughter was also possessed by a demon. Now this woman came to Jesus, knelt on her knees, and begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. The region of Tyre was so insignificant in the eyes of the Jews, the woman also came alone without a husband. The historical situation of women was disrespected. Viewing her in that historical lens, the fact that she had a demon-possessed daughter makes her a pitiful and unclean person who is so lowly. In the eyes of the Pharisees, whom they consider themselves as the privileged, they will view her as a person below the lowest floor. The attribute of Jesus that we know well is Jesus's love. For someone who has so much love, rejected the woman who needed comfort and refused her request with the parable. In Jesus' reply, he even compares the woman and the Gentiles to dogs. Now, the analogy of a dog is not a cute creature, but instead, it holds a contemptuous meaning, and it could be found in many places of the Bible, such as 1 Samuel 17:43 and 24:4. Here we have to ask the most important question. The question is, why did Jesus, who is the epitome of love, present such a disgraceful response to this poor woman? Now, Jesus did not come to Tyre with the promise to meet someone special or heal someone. After arguing with the Pharisees, from there, Jesus set out on his way and went away to the region of Tyre. As I mentioned earlier, ekathen, from there, suggests that the place where Jesus left is a place where the Pharisees argued with Jesus as means of showing their privilege and purity. And now Jesus is in the region of Tyre, the area where the Pharisees detest. But now, surprisingly, Jesus seems to disappoint the Syrophoenician woman. From a missiological point of view, it is possible to interpret the scripture that the gospel is being evangelized, starting from the Jews to the Gentiles. Nevertheless, there is no doubt that Jesus' expression of likening the woman to a dog was too radical. As I meditated on the scripture, I came to look at today's perspective from the perspective of grace and not from a missiological perspective. Jesus said to the woman, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But the woman responded to him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." It is noteworthy that the Syrophoenician woman is calling Jesus, "Sir." In the actual Greek text, there is the word kurie, meaning Lord. In the entire Gospel of Mark, the phrase Lord only appears once, and that is through the lips of a Syrophoenician woman. And surprisingly, this woman accepts Jesus' words rather than rejecting it. even though she is likened to a dog in Jesus' parable. The woman heard from the people of Tyre about how Jesus is loving and Jesus' miracles of healing the sick and helping the poor. So even though her lowliness and pity were again exposed through Jesus' words, the woman did not stop seeking grace from Jesus. The faith of this Syrophoenician woman and Canaanite woman is noteworthy and honorable. Yet, I am not encouraging you to resemble this woman. And I am not exhorting to you by saying, with this scripture passage, let's all become Christians whose lives resemble this woman. I can't say that because there is the precious teaching of Jesus underlying this passage. Jesus departed from the Pharisees who believed they were special, and Jesus went to those who thought of themselves as lowly and underprivileged. And Jesus has been gracious to those who thought themselves unworthy, yet showed longing and eagerness of his grace. By the grace of the Lord, the woman's daughter was able to be set free from the demon. Grace belongs to those who are desperate and yearning for God's grace. The grace of Jesus is not given to the privileged and special people. It is God's grace that makes people privileged and special. And I'm not saying that Jesus was gracious only to the poor and the lowly. Jesus also gave his grace to Jairus and the centurion, who was well off. What all these people had in common was that they trusted Jesus and followed him. Jesus is not asking anything special from you. The grace of the Lord does not reach us because of our social status and measure of wealth, good or bad relationships, or academic degrees. Also, the grace of the Lord is not restricted to those who are not cared for, nor to those who are lowly. The grace of the Lord is for all who call on the Lord, because our Lord already loves us, and he is Emmanuel, who is with us. Sometimes, because of the weight of life, we stray away from the faith that we wanted and we hesitate to come before the Lord because the prayers that we needed to continue seem stuck or the Bible reading that we had set for is not going well. Therefore, even when we feel that we are lacking compared to others who seem to have faith, the first thing we should do is not our efforts, but acknowledge that the Lord already loves us. Human love can change, but God's love for us does not change. Let's pray. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. Lord, how much can we accept the love that you pour over us today? There are times when we cannot accept the love that you want to give us, and there are times when we limit your love by our judgments. But Lord, make us thirsty for your love and make us thirst for more, just like the Syrophoenician woman and the Canaanite woman. Help us to recognize your love and look upon us so that we can receive your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.